I have an aversion to being kept in my place or being forced to do anything. You see, I'm part of this rebel movement called Christianity. And I want us to look at that. Let's look at God's kingship. Because the God that we worship as Christians doesn't secure his authority by cultivating anxiety in those who follow him. On the contrary, the God that we worship wants us to, you know, wants to use his kingship to free us to be who he created us to be, to free us from anxiety. And that's what our text that Jim read to us this morning is all about, being free from anxiety. So I'm just going to tell you briefly a pastor's struggle. You know, I suppose this text is as much for me as anyone else. Do not be anxious about anything. I think most of you know, but for any who don't, I'll be leaving the pastorate of this church on the 31st of October, 3 months' time. What of the future for Andrew and I? Where will we live? What will we do for income? You know, do you know what? We've got no idea. But God does. The future's very uncertain, and it would be easy for us to become anxious. But we believe that we followed God's leading. And I certainly find a real sense of peace in that. But, you know, I still worry, you know, who will have that conversation with X? And would X want to even continue that conversation with another person? And how can I be sure that that myrtle or whatever keeps going on with the Lord? But God knows the details. And he'll cope just fine without me. But will I cope? Yeah, that's more of a challenge. You know, with God at my side, yes, I will cope, though I know I will miss you. As I said last week, I love this congregation. How can I make sure I leave well? How can I give this church the best chance of flourishing in the long term? You know, what if I stuff up? You know, it's scary. But I'm going to ask God to help me to leave well and to help me not to stuff up. And ask you guys to be gracious enough to forgive me if I do. And of course, in the short term, times have changed. There may be things that are a little bit rocky. And there are certain things that I need to do, conversations that I need to have, actions that I need to take. But I'm going to ask God for a special dose of his love and grace so that I can do all of that out of a place of rest in him. God would say to me, do not be anxious. Next point, a single person's struggle. Seems quite different from the last, but I feel it's important to say that I know not every single person is looking, every single person is looking for a marriage partner. I know that. Some single people feel complete without a partner, and that's a good thing. Singleness can be a gift from God. It brings certain freedoms with it. But most of us don't feel called to singleness. No. And I remember once talking with a woman in her 30s, and she just ended a relationship with her boyfriend because he wasn't a strong enough Christian. She knew that staying with him would stop her thriving in the Christian life. And she wanted to live a life that truly honored God. A relationship where she and her partner could encourage one another and egg one another on in their discipleship. And she was beginning to lose hope that there might be anyone out there who actually had the courage, any eligible people out there who actually had the courage to live like that. And there are. I know, because I've had exactly the same conversation with a man who's also in his 30s. You know, if only I could get them to meet. Although, of course, chemistry is important. I'm not saying that. But those people are determined to continue to trust and wait for God's best for them. And that takes guts. Jesus would say to them, do not be anxious. And we have an older person's struggle. Some time ago, I had a chat with an elderly person who was concerned about dying. I was honoured that she wanted to discuss her fears with me. Death is the great unknown, and it's quite natural and understandable that there might be some anxiety around it. After several hours of sharing her fears, reading the Bible, praying together, a peace came over that lovely saint as she recalled how Jesus had gone from death to life before her, and how she, as a follower, could reach out for Jesus' hand and let him guide her, pull her through from life to death to fullness of life. And Jesus will say to her, do not be anxious. A missionary struggle. Yeah, last week Andrew and I spoke to Annette and Damien Miller on the telephone. There are Link missionaries working in Mozambique. You might recall they came here and spoke just over a year ago, and just after they got married. Well, Annette is 32 weeks pregnant now. They came to the UK a few weeks ago to have their first baby together. Changes in the visa regulations meant that although she was married to a British national, that there were problems with Annette's visa. And Annette was detained and interrogated for a number of hours. It was a very scary process. They sought legal advice, but it was unable to change the situation. And now they're having to fly to Uganda to have the baby. Facilities in Uganda, Annette says, are not too bad, but having a baby in Uganda has painful memories for Annette. I don't want to say too much sort of because it's being recorded, but some of you will recall she shared things last year about how when she was 14, she'd had a baby in Uganda under not such pleasant circumstances. A lovely son, he's grown up to be lovely, but makes her a bit anxious. And so we prayed with her on the phone, and I can tell you that Annette and Damien have drawn so much comfort from the prayers of people like you in this church, from the Girls Brigade, as they've prayed too. And they know that somehow God is going to work through this. They do find themselves getting anxious, but they also find themselves remembering God's mercy, grace, and incredible love for them. And Jesus would say to them, do not be anxious. And the Lord Jesus, I believe, is giving us a word this morning as a church to remind us that his kingship is not built on anxiety or on the anxiety of his people. He wants us to lead, he wants to lead a free people. And that's why he tells us not to be anxious, because anxiety keeps us in slavery. Do not be anxious about your life, verse 25 that Jim read. Do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat, verse 31. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, verse 34. It's clear Jesus does not want us to be anxious. So we've established what God doesn't want. So what does God want? The text is clear. Verse 33 tells us, instead of being anxious, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, when you think about life, your food, your clothes, your spouse, your desire for a spouse, your children, your desire for children, your relationship, your health, your job, your ministry, your church, don't let those things gnaw away inside your head. Don't let them make you fret and worry and get churned up. What might it look like if you handed that situation over to the living God, over to Christ's sovereign power, to trust in his sovereignty? What might it look for the situation that perhaps right now is going wah, 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 inside your head. What would it look like if that situation was placed fully under Christ's lordship, under his rule and reign? Because the Bible passage tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things, these details that we have a tendency to obsess about, then they will be added unto us. They'll get sorted. So our priority is not to obsess about everything, not to sort everything out. Our priority is to seek first the kingdom of God in each and every situation. Can you do that? Can I do that? Because it's really important that we do so. To seek first the kingdom of God in every situation, every moment of life, is a way of life that is full of freedom, peace, joy, adventure. And yeah, there will be some struggle too. And I know we naturally like to be in control, but who are we kidding if we think that we're better at sorting stuff than God? If we believe in the kingship of our Heavenly Father, and we do, don't we? Then we do not need to be anxious about anything. Let's look at some of the reasons why. 8 reasons not to be anxious. 1, life is more than food and clothing. Verse 25 says, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Why? Because life is more than food and the body's more than clothing. Food is the fuel that keeps our physical bodies alive, and I love it. And of course, this was written into a culture where some of the people didn't have enough food to feed their families. And today, even in this country, there are people who need to become reliant or are reliant upon food banks, aren't there? To provide quite basic food needs. Jesus is saying to us that food is important, but there is something even more important. So is it clothes that's more important? Yeah, I like being able to wear nice clothes, and I guess clothes can sometimes be a form of self-expression. But is that what it's all about? Is there something even more important than nice clothes? And Jesus responds, if you're gripped by anxiety over these things, you've lost sight of the greatness of life. Yeah, true life is about much more than those things. True life's about living under the rule and reign of Christ from now into eternity. True life is about living a God-centered, Christ-centered kingdom life. Secondly, do the birds stress? Second reason Jesus gives for not being anxious is in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Yet birds dig for worms. They snatch bugs on the wing. They line their nests with bits of fluff and leaves and stuff. And perhaps I'm wrong, but I don't think they're worrying too much about the future or stressing about the past. A bird isn't going to be thinking that somehow God's just going to decide to stop caring about them. And they just go about their lives without worrying about what might happen tomorrow, without worrying about what happened yesterday. And yet they still go to sleep. The sun still rises. They still find out that God is still God and that he will still provide. How much more then, as children of our Heavenly Father, should we trust in God's provision? And unlike a bird, we've got a capacity to honour God by our faith. So let's not be anxious. Thirdly, anxiety doesn't get you anywhere. Verse 27 gives the third reason not to be anxious. It says, and which of you by being anxious can add one cubit to his span of life? Anxiety doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't do you any good. Now, I know that some people have mental health conditions that mean that they're predisposed to anxiety. And let me say for the record that where that's the case, I don't believe that anxiety is a sin. I believe that it is a consequence of the fall that impacted everything in the same way as everything that is not perfect, which is everything, is being tarnished by the fall in some way. You know, and maybe it doesn't mean it's that individual's fault. So hear that if you are a sufferer of chronic anxiety. You know, sometimes for people there's a chemical imbalance. Sometimes there are deep-seated issues that need addressing. Sometimes both. And I know how frightening and debilitating that sort of anxiety can be. I'm not belittling it or saying snap out of it. So if that's you, I can tell you that Jesus wants to come alongside you in your anxiety and say, peace, be still. Trust me and we'll move forward together in this. But most of us struggle at some time or other with anxiety, don't we? But anxiety doesn't make the problem go away, as I've said. It just makes us miserable while we try and deal with it, leaving us less able to cope with whatever the pressing issues are. Psychology's actually shown that the worse a person's anxiety is, the worse they are at making decisions. So worry's not only pointless, it's counterproductive. So ask God to help you not be anxious. It's a waste of time and energy that you don't have. 4, God delights in beautification. I couldn't think of another word. Beautification. Verses 28 to 30 give us the 4th reason not to be anxious. It says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? If you believe in God and you ever go out into the natural world, you will know how God delights to adorn the things of nature. Andrew and I will be walking across Corsica again later in the summer. And one of the things that I'm already about is seeing God's glory sort of writ large in the mountains, but also in the detail of the adornment of the flowers, the grass, the butterflies. I mean, take a look at the plants and the grasses that Josh has planted in the garden. You know, how they're starting to flourish. It will take time before they're fully flourishing, but go and have a look. It's incredible. And thank Josh while you're at it. Thank Josh. He won't want me to say this, but go and thank him for that garden. It's a present to us as a church from a lovely guy who recognises just how much God delights in the adornment of things and the beautification of things. And if God's pleasure is expressed in adorning the grass, the flowers and the butterflies that are here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he care about his children? Because we're not only adorned with our own clothes, but we can be adorned with his kingly robes if we choose to follow him. And we thought a bit last week about the father in the prodigal son story giving his best royal robes to cover the sin and the shame of the son. Will you let the father cover your sin and shame with his beautiful royal robes, more beautiful than any designer outfit could ever be? 5, unbelievers are anxious. Jim read to us that the pagans are anxious. So we shouldn't be anxious because we're not pagans. What does our anxiety tell us about the kind of God we believe in? Is God sovereign or is he not? My father, you know, my dad is God of the universe. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He knows everything about me, including, well, he knows everything about me, however complicated I might be. including this or that situation, including the church's situation. So if I'm worried that this problem might be too big for him, if we're worried that this problem might be too big for him, what does that say about our faith? 6. Your Heavenly Father knows your needs. If we're over anxious, it shows that we don't think our Father in Heaven knows our needs. Or perhaps we don't think he has the heart of a genuinely loving Father. And for those of us anxious about the church, what might happen over the coming months, the church is the bride of Christ. He knows her needs better than any one of us. And this church, SWEC, South Woodham Evangelical Church, is his bride. And he loves her to the moon and back, ad infinitum. And he has the bride's best interests at heart. So let's pray deeply. Let's listen to him. Let's wait upon him. Let's be open to what he wants to do. And we can be certain of this. If we work with him on this one, then whatever he's going to do is going to be infinitely better than all we can ask or imagine. He promises that in Ephesians. So let's not try to take matters, whatever they may be, into our own hands. It's a very human response. Let's let God be God. Let's let God have control. 7. God will carry your burdens if you seek his honour first. The 7th reason not to be anxious is in verse 33. When you seek first the kingdom of God, he will take the weight of your burdens so that you can be lighter on your feet and better able to join him in the work of the kingdom. And what's more, when you stop being anxious and seek first the kingdom of God, it releases God to get on and do his thing. I want to let God get on and do his thing in my life and in this church's life. Let's seek the kingdom of God first. First, not second or third, but first above all other matters. 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Verse 34 is the last argument about why you shouldn't be anxious. And it says, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own troubles be sufficient for the day. In other words, don't bring forward the worries of tomorrow into today. Believe that God will still be God tomorrow, that he will still be sovereign. It's kind of like the thing about the birds again, isn't it? It's like re-emphasizing that point that the text made, that God will still be God tomorrow, next month, in 6 months' time, in 6 years' time, and beyond. Just want to put up this next slide. A big anxious family. I am leaving the church, but God is very much staying. Let's try and live in the moment. Let's enjoy the next 3 months as we partner together for the sake of the kingdom. Now more than any other time is the time to unite under Christ, the living head. Of course, there are practicalities to sort out, but let's not get distracted from the main issue of seeking first the kingdom of God. Then, all these other things that we're worried about can be added unto us, can be sorted. As I said, I may be leaving, but God is not leaving. He is planning on staying here. But weirdly, he's planning on coming with us too. God's amazing like that. Because he's omnipresent, and omnipresent means everywhere at the same time. And so God goes ahead of us as a church and ahead of me and Andrew. He will be sorting out what's next for the church and for Andrew and myself. He's already sorting things out. You may not know about them, I certainly don't know about them. But we can be certain that the Holy Spirit is already getting the logistics organized, raising the right people up to do certain things at the right time and preparing the way for whatever is to come. The Holy Spirit has been with us as a church in the past. He's already gone ahead, and yet he remains with us in the here and now. And anxiety tells us to live in the past or to live in the future. Jesus shows us we can live in the present with this passage. Rest in him. This passage tells us not to get sidetracked by our own wants or desires, or to get knocked off track by our own emotions, but to be even more determined to follow Christ and let the Holy Spirit take the lead at this time. So a pastor struggles, a single person struggles, an older person struggles, a church struggles. We all struggle with anxiety in some way or another at some time. But the main point of this passage is clear. Jesus does not want his followers to be anxious. He does not secure his kingdom by keeping his people in a constant state of worry. On the contrary, in fact, as his kingship becomes more central in our lives, so we will learn to live increasingly under his rule and reign. And as we do, we will find ourselves trusting him more and more. And as we trust him more and more, so we'll become less and less anxious. And as we become less and less anxious, so we will find that we've given over control to God, who can then get on and sort out the issues that have been bothering us all along. So as we close, remember that Jesus came, lived, died, rose from the dead in order that he might reign over an anxiety-free people. Makes him very different from a lot of other people who would like to claim sovereignty over your lives or situations. A people who trust him because he can be trusted. Different from those rulers we saw up there. So come to Jesus this morning. Forsake all other allegiances. Seek first, not second or third, the kingdom of God. In your life, in all you do, all you say, in this church's life, and all it is and does. And then all these other bits and pieces will be added to you. God will sort the details. Do not be anxious. And I too will do all I can to make his kingship over my life known, and his kingship over the life of this church known. So together, let's take a vow of loyalty to the King of Kings. Let's pull his royal robes tightly around us, and let's press on together for the sake of the kingdom. Amen.